He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday. Monday the 13th, we'll call it, 2022. And we've changed the name of the show to the Best Inverse Funds Now Show. Barry, I think that's appropriate today. It's been crazy.
Looks like it for today.
It is wild and crazy. And, you know, as I read the newsletter and edited it over the weekend before I sent it out, seeing it all at one point, all, you know, in mass like that, I said, there's nothing positive here. Well, you know, it's just a reflection of what's going on in the world. As the world and our country just kind of remain in decline here, the Dow down 617 right now. That's a 2% drop on the Dow, 30,775. And I think a new wrinkle today is we're seeing it start to invade and infect the energy sector a little bit, which I've kind of been expecting. But at the same time, I'm really not seeing oil sell off that much. But there's some big profits in that oil sector, and I think there's a risk-off mood right now. And even they're getting hit a little bit. Obviously, the inverse ETFs are flying today. We continue to own 10 inverse ETFs. The S&P is down 99.3801. Well, I kept saying, will it hold 3,900? The answer is no. It has not held one support level this year. Now we're at 3,800, okay? NASDAQ down 345 to 10,995. The real shocker to me, Barry, I'm not all that shocked, but it is shocking to see the Bitcoin. Oh, my gosh, 23,596 on Bitcoin. And the 10-year is at 3.28%. What's up today?
Man, it got there quick.
Inverse funds.
Right.
Well, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. If there are any best stocks now, not many. I mean, I would say just about everything is caught up in this. As of last Friday, it started to invade and creep into the Teflon-insulated energy sector. I do see natural gas, though, is having a good day, and the natural gas stocks. And oil is not down that much, really, today. But we are seeing, finally, some selling and profit-taking in the oil patch, the energy sector, which has been about the only place to hide, other than, obviously, the inverse funds, which have been quite profitable this year. But we're off to a very poor start here. I'm just going to make the observation as to the way the market is trading here today and on Friday. And I heard a lot of analysts say the same thing. They believe that we are already in a recession in the United States, which wouldn't be that big of a reach, really, to make that claim. Because we already have one negative quarter in the books. And with the inflation that we're seeing, you know, Barry, I mean, another negative quarter is not that big of a stretch. The earnings for this quarter are expected to be up a meager 4% versus the same quarter last year. And I think it will be a stretch. I think we're going to see a negative quarter in earnings growth for the S&P 500. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
and,
yeah.
And the doom and gloom is high. I mean, the last negative reading was primarily because we had a record trade deficit. So you can't, you know, all recessions aren't created equal,
nope.
If you will, right? I mean, we had a recession in 2008-2009, right?
The Great Recession.
Yeah, close to a, could have sent us into a depression, right?
Yes.
I don't think we're anywhere close to that particular point here. You know, the bottom line is, technically, my guess is we will end up with a recession, because if you look at some of the import numbers that we had, it was last week or two back, still very high. And it's going to be, you know, politically, right, at least on the Republican side, right, it's going to, you know, you're going to hear that recession word talked up, because it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what type of recession it is, right? It's going to be a good, it's going to be good political mantra.
Yes. Especially
when you tie that to gas prices, inflation, we're in a recession, right? I mean, there's more doom and gloom, at least rhetorically, I think, to follow.
I'm seeing a lot of anger out there, to be honest with you.
Oh, and, yeah, on both sides. You know,
all you got to do is go to a busy gas station, and, you know, nobody can miss that final price at the pump when they
right.
That is the worst billboard you could have if you're in the, you know, the incumbents this year. And we do have a little election here tomorrow in our neck of the woods. We are voting for a Congress person from our district. That will be interesting to watch.
And it's gotten a little nasty.
It's nasty.
The more ads I've been seeing. I don't see too many commercials. It's usually on mute, or I fast forward. But
and these are two women. When two women go at it,
it's not pretty.
But it is not pretty at all. It's Nancy Mace versus Katie Arrington. That's just
one's like replace Mace. There's all kinds of rhymes and slogans going on.
So yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch. Okay, now here's the other deal. You know, crude oil is down a paltry 70 cents, $119.97. But the oil stocks, I just think there's a flight to safety there. I don't think it's time to flee the oil stocks. We have not solved that problem. We have not even come close to solving that problem. You know, there is some hedging that can be done against the oil stocks. I mentioned to one of my subscribers this morning, I believe it's DIG, D-I-G. Is it DIG that I mentioned to him? Let me just look that up real quick. DRIP. DRIP is...
DIG's the plus side, on the plus side that we used. I think DRIP,
yes.
Yeah, DRIP's...
That's what we need to do is DIG to get those oil prices down. Instead, we're DRIPping. And a DRIP is an inverse 2-to-1 against the oil and gas sector, which, you know, there could be a little bit of a round of profit taking here in the energy stocks, and DRIP could come in handy. We currently own 10, count them, 10 inverse funds, and several of them are leveraged 2-to-1. Okay, so for instance, our SDS position, which is 2-to-1 inverse the S&P 500, that thing is breaking out today. It's up 5.8%. That's one of our largest positions at Gunderson Capital Management. And DXD is twice the fund, the inverse of the Dow. And it's breaking out today. It's up 4.42% on very large volume. So, you know, and we left off Friday. Friday was just a nasty day in the market. And that came on the heels. It was the same day that the inflation report came out. So there's obviously a very large correlation between the market, the fear that is gripping the market thereof, and those inflation numbers. And, you know, I heard Art Laffer, economist from USC, you know, now he's in Tennessee, and he's the developer of the Laffer curve. He said on Friday that inflation was accelerating. Okay, that's not good news. He believes it's going to go well over 9% in the coming month. And, of course, this is the week that the Fed meets. And I would not. In fact, I'm going to go on a limb and predict that they're going to go 75 basis points, even though they said they weren't. Maybe not, you know, hopefully they don't. But I can see them going 75 basis points. In the meantime, in Europe, they've been going 25 basis points, which I think Europe is really behind the curve.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they've actually lifted it yet. I think she said at the next meeting they plan to go 20. So, like, it's, you know, I don't even know if they officially actually have raised it yet. It was almost like, you know, kind of like in a Powell meeting, right,
yeah.
Or a press conference. But, I mean, the biggest story is interest rates. I mean, you look just on June 7th, we were at 2.95% on the 10-year Treasury. You know, right this minute, we now, you know, we're just a tick under 3.3. I mean, that's a 35 basis point increase in, you know, less than a week, and two of those days were a weekend. So,
and if that's not enough bad news, Barry, from what I understand here, I haven't looked, but it's happened. The yield curve has inverted.
It inverted earlier this morning. I think right now it is, so the 2 years at 3.22, so that spread's about, you know, 7 basis points. That spread, you know, inverted earlier this morning. And then, if you remember, we were following it. It got to like 35. It spread out again. So,
okay.
Yeah, but
so,
it's
yeah, because the
tight.
2 year is really
yeah,
jumping.
2 year is real tight, yeah.
All right, well, when we come back, you know, you've learned about inverse funds here. We'll talk about those, but wait till you see your utility bills in coming months, huh? This is Bill Gunnarsson, Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds, Worst Stocks Now, Worst Sectors Now.
Best Mediocre Stocks.
Oh, man. You know, I was just looking. Fanged, which is the Fang stocks, inverse 3-1. That thing's up 14.2% today. It's astonishing to see Bitcoin at 23,686. It was over 60,000 at one time. It's astonishing to see the 10-year now at 3.29%. And I read today that on Redfin, you know, listings weren't on there for very long. And now the listings are building up on Redfin, and they're not leaving the website, meaning that the home for sale market has cooled off considerably. And, of course, the mortgage market has cooled off considerably. Also consider that the S&P 500 is now down over 20% since the beginning of the year. And looking back on those inflation numbers from Friday, oh, it's not pretty. 8.6% was the total year over year, and now we're being warned, especially if you use natural gas. We use propane here in our neck of the woods, but I imagine propane prices are also exploding higher. Now, they're warning you here about your utility bills, which are going to really go higher as elevated natural gas prices continue to increase. Your energy cost year over year, 34.6% year over year.
Yeah, and our listeners in Texas hit a record power usage over the weekend with the heat down there, with everyone having their ACs on. So,
yeah, and you know, there's really nothing. I mean, we've been going through these seasons and. Ever since I've been alive, I mean, I imagine Texas is about the same heat that it has been at this time of year, but all of a sudden we seem to have these shortages and these giant rising prices. How about the Big Mac indicator? I stopped and got a Big Mac. First one in maybe, I don't know, a year. $5.55 now for a Big Mac. So almost a gallon of gas and a Big Mac. Eventually, they'll probably be about the same. Remember when they were 2 for $5, Barry?
Yeah, that's and I love the whole Big Mac indicator.
Now you can't even get 1 for $5. Okay, it's $5.55 for a Big Mac. And I noticed that, you know, those hamburger patties are about the size of a silver dollar now. And they're about as thin. They're using a whole lot
less.
You got a lot
more bread.
It's a lot of bread. I looked for the cheese, you know. And it's just, we're in decline. Gasoline prices on a tear, 48.7% year on year, 4.1% last month alone. Prices at the pump up 14% from 1 month ago, according to AAA. Refining margins continuing to increase. Also, I see the refineries stocks. Crack is the ETF that follows the refiners. It's down today for the first time in quite some time. That's 2 days in a row for the refiners. And let's see, what else was some of the big 30.2% for electricity prices? Oh, 12%. Piped gas, 30.2%. It's just everywhere. It's everywhere. We're seeing higher prices. Now, last Sunday, I did a pork butt in the smoker for the fam. They all come over, you know, to Grandpa's house for Sunday dinner. And I just noticed as I, you know, it was in the freezer for, I don't know, a month or two. $14 is what it was, okay? I priced one this week, $21 for that same piece of meat. That's 50%. That's a 50% increase. Inflation data sparked broad selling on Friday. You know, on Friday, the Dow was down 888 points, and now we're tacking on another 600 today.
Yeah, which is it's odd how these numbers, I mean, you remember, I mean, I can remember just 10 years ago when you think about, you know, an 800-point decline in the Dow. I mean, I'd like to know how many 800-point moves in both directions,
yes,
right, up and down, that we've had, you know, since, just take it since the end of 2018. Take it since... remember when the day after Christmas in 2018, when the Dow, you know, bounced
that
back.
That was Christmas Eve. We had seven, 600 or 1,000 point drop on Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry
and
Christmas,
had to move
everybody.
The other way, and then remember we had to move the other way.
Yeah,
right,
the day after
right
Christmas.
After. And then if you know, take those points in time and like how many, you know, 700, 800 points. I mean, you're talking close to what, you know, the 87 crash was on a points basis.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's...
Yes, it's... pretty ugly. Target wasn't good news last week. I mean, they already did it once where they, you know, reported their margins, thin margins, and then they did it again a second time. And that took the whole retail sector down with it for the most part, with a few exceptions. And now, of course, you've got recession. You're hearing the word recession more and more and more. And I heard, I read a lot of people over the weekend saying, we're already in one. The United States, the U.S. economy is now in a recession. And really, when you look around the world, they're worse off than we are because Europe.
If we're in one, what does that mean for the rest of the world?
Yeah, I mean, Europe, with all of that exposure to the Ukraine war, and tight supplies and everything, and China could be in a recession too. Japan is just getting crushed. The yen is just getting crushed. So things not good. Now, the inverse bond funds, the bonds got clobbered last week. Today they're getting clobbered again. We have a big position in TBT. That's having a good day. TBT is up 5.1% today. That is inverse twice. The inverse, we've gone to 2-to-1 inverse for the most part. Amongst our 10 inverse ETFs we own, most of them are double inverse right now. And then we own SJB, which is the junk bond. Oh, my word. Look at that thing break out today. It's 1-to-1. There is not a 2-to-1 junk bond index.
And it broke out on Friday. Look at it today, up 2.8%. Wow.
Well, think of it this way, okay? If you are a company with a lot of debt, you're in big trouble, right? Because now to go out and borrow, or a company that needs to borrow, you're not even going to be able to hardly service your debt. So you don't want to be buying heavily high leverage companies right now. That's just not a good place to be. And SJB is an inverse ETF on junk bonds. That thing is breaking out with a vengeance today. It's up another 3.4%. Okay, well, when we come back, this is the week that the Fed meets. Will we get a 75? And what's being done? And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds, Best Cash Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. 23 years in the business is getting very reminiscent of the year 2000, which was the dot-com bubble. We've already had several bubbles that have burst. And, you know, ARK Funds is now down about 80% from its high. That's the same that the NASDAQ was down in the year 2000. And other areas, Bitcoin going from 65,000 to 23,000, that's about a 65% drop. That's another bubble that burst. The bond market bubble is bursting. The junk bond market bubble is bursting. So we're seeing a lot of miniature, not so miniature, bear markets and even just thrashings taking place. Now it's starting to spread to the housing sector. I think we've probably seen the top maybe several months ago in housing prices, and we're starting to see that being chipped away now. So what's being done about it? Well, President Biden gave a big speech on Friday. He was from the port of Los Angeles, where that's been one of the major clogged up hubs for quite some time. President Biden said, "I understand why Americans are anxious, and they're anxious for good reason." He said, "Inflation is my top economic priority," he said. But at the same time, he's relying 100% on the Fed to just raise interest rates. He says, "While I understand the anxiety, America has unique strengths to help overcome an inflationary environment." Well, I just don't know that our unique strengths is what it's going to take. I think it's going to take some unique measures. He said this from a ship in the port of Los Angeles. He said one example is that 390,000 jobs that were added in May and an unemployment rate near record lows. Well, I hate to say it. I mean, that doesn't really have anything to do with inflation other than maybe keeping wage prices down.
You're not going to – the Fed's not doing its job until it gets back to what they would consider full employment, which is a much higher percent of unemployment than we're at the moment.
Yes, exactly. And wages are going higher, which is good for workers, but it's also a big part of the inflationary – as part of that $5.55 Big Mac. To help with the supply chain issues, one of the factors fueling inflation, obviously the supply-demand equation is out of balance. The infrastructure bill is helping funding improvements at major ports, he said. Okay, well, you know what? We live on the Port of Charleston, one of the major ports. That's all I know is one half of our port is closed down because of a massive standoff between the Teamsters Union and the people at the Port of Charleston. So it's sitting. It's not even being used. It's being used to store containers, which are stacking up. 85% of the containers that come off these ships do not go back to China. Okay? The cost to ship are too expensive to ship back empty containers.
And we're not sending too many. I mean, we send some exports back. But
what did you say the trade imbalance is?
It was record? It was a record trade imbalance this last GDP quarter. So, whatever trade deficit, right, that we've all the trade deficits we've heard of pretty much most of our lives that were pretty, you know, pretty large back then. You know, we topped that one this last go around. Part of it is because we're demand is so high here, right? We're trying to, you know, hoarding isn't the right word, but we're trying to get as many raw materials as possible. Plus the dollar being strong comparatively to the rest of the world was, you know, making it better for us to import, because we're actually, you know, importing at least some deflation because our currency was so high. But
yes, okay, so yeah, 85% of those containers that are offloaded from those ships, those massive freighters that come into our port, the containers stay here. 15% is what goes back with something in them going back across the ocean. Okay, now, the other thing he's doing is he's trying to bring down shipping cost. 9 major foreign-owned, well, there's the deal. I mean, you can't do anything with a foreign-owned shipping line. He says they've raised prices by 1,000% in the last year. Congress is taking on legislation to bring those prices down. I don't know what kind of legislation would apply to foreign-owned companies, unless you're going to tax the hell out of them for using our ports or something like that.
And to me, part of that's just blowing smoke. I mean, in reality, right, demand for shipping, right, has increased.
Skyrocketed.
So, like, you know, there's certain parts of those, you know, prices went up 100%. Well, part of that is because of demand. I mean, I don't know what percentage, right, but part of that is demand has increased. So it's, you know, it's. You know, what the difference, you know, is it manipulation, is it not, right? I mean, same argument that they make with oil companies, is it manipulation or not? No, part of it is the demand-supply equation.
Yep.
You know, the other part, right, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of price fixing, right? But, I mean, all in all, it's not all price fixing. Part of it has to do with policy, and you've got to, you know, if you're not going to do anything policy-wise, right, you know, the Fed can't do everything.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's my problem with most of it, especially when you start hearing about the Putin, you know,
Putin price hike.
No, like we had the stickers at Biden stickers were at the pump way before the Putin deal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And now, I mean, the thing he's doing to help with the crude oil prices is releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. You know what? That was like 10 days worth of oil. And now you don't have a strategic oil reserve. If it was me, I would have said to the U.S. producers in North America and Canada, and even Latin America, let's pump up our resources that we have, and flood the market and drive prices down. That's the best, is to increase supply. It's the supply demand equation. Then lastly, they're trying to find ways to get 20 million tons of wheat in the Ukraine out of the country. Now, I don't know how much Ukraine wheat we use. I doubt that it's very much. I would imagine all that wheat goes to Europe.
Well, Russia's figuring it out. They're trying to sell it to Turkey.
Yeah.
And they stole their wheat.
I don't imagine that helps our inflation whatsoever. Yeah. And then he goes into the prescription drug costs. But I don't know about you. I mean, I notice my gas tank more than I notice my prescription drug costs. So anyways, look, it is what it is. That's where we're at. And he just went after ExxonMobil. Now, this last quarter that just ended, the average profit margin for the S&P 500 companies, okay, 500 companies, the average profit margin was 13%. And I looked up ExxonMobil, which he's going on. He said they made more money than God last year. Which is kind
of to a question. Whoever asked that question and used Exxon's name, I'm sure Exxon's like talking to that reporter like, really? Why did you have to bring up our name?
Exxon has a profit margin of about 7%. Okay? And the average S&P 500 is 13%. So why not go after, you know, some of the tech stocks, they're 30 and 35% profit margins.
Well, we know politicians in general are pretty bad at economics.
Oh, they're terrible.
You know, so it's and that's not, I mean, that's unfortunately on both sides of the aisle usually, but
yeah.
Historically not great economists. But
well, he said that ExxonMobil reported $23 billion, which is a big number, but they have $300 billion in sales. Okay, so that's an income statement. And you divide your income into your sales, and you get a profit margin. So $23 billion, while it sounds like a big number, and that's what you know the media will pick up. Well, how much did they have in sales?
Yeah,
and
one's
Exxon.
Revenue. Yeah, one's revenue.
Exxon fired back and said they paid $41 billion in taxes in 2021. Which was 78% more than they paid in 2020. So there you have it. Lastly, McDonald's in Russia, Rio, and I don't know how much a Big Mac is. They have to call it something else, a missile Mac. I don't know. 3 months after McDonald's, they have a new name. They have a new operator. They have a new logo, okay. But they're back open. Where's the name? There was the new name here somewhere. The translation. I can't find it. Oh, yeah, there it is. Tasty, and that's it. Well, we'll be right back. What's jumping off the page? What inverse funds are jumping off the page when we come back?
This is Bill You got to know where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's whitewashing in the market after Friday's big sell-off. It's pretty much inflation-related, inflation-related. I'll tell you when a big market analyst loses me. I used to kind of follow this guy at Fundstrat, Tom Lee. But now his true colors are coming. He's a permable. Oh, he says the FANG stocks look good here. Well, they can fight the Fed. In the meantime, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, they're just getting slaughtered. He thinks they're good buys here. And FANGed, which is the 3-to-1 FANG index inverse, is up 18% right now, Barry, 18%. Which means the FANG group as an index are down 6%. So you know what? There's a lot of perma bulls in the market. There's a lot of perma bears in the market. I don't believe in either one. You know, we've had a 12-year run, 13-year run, where the perma bears got slaughtered, and they were wrong the whole time. This is why active investment, in my book, plays out much better than passive investment. And there's plenty of perma bulls out there who, no matter what the market is, no matter what it's like outside, they're always bullish, saying, oh, we'll be okay. But you know what? That doesn't help the 72-year-old who's now retired, and they're telling them to keep buying FANG stocks at this level. You know, I heard people defending ARK, for instance. How much is it down today?
I think I just texted you 9%. And the other side of that, ARK's down 9%. The other side of that is, you know, permables. Well, you've also got essentially long-only active mutual funds, right? I mean, you know, you can.
That's
you can
99%
have,
of them.
Yeah, and you can have an active mutual fund, right? It's active, but it has to be, you know, at least 80% invested, right? So. At best, right? You know, they can keep 20% in cash. The rest of the 80% is at the whim of the market.
And absolutely.
So, there's no different than being a perma bull than being a, you know, a active long only mutual fund.
Yeah, I mean, you may as well be owning the S&P 500 if you own, or if you own any kind of a tech fund, mutual fund, you may as well own the NASDAQ, which is now down approaching 30% on the year. Now, as far as these gas stocks and oil stocks, crude itself is hanging, is not moving hardly at all. And this is what I think this is. Yeah, Goldman Sachs says, get ready for a summer of pain ahead with gasoline at $5 a gallon nationwide and supplies tightening. They're not widening, they're tightening. So there's what you got to do. You got to increase the supply. And a temporary release from the national gas reserves is not the answer. The answer is to dramatically increase the supply coming from North America. Crude oil closed with its seventh straight weekly gain as tight fuel supplies sustain bullish fundamentals. Okay. U.S. inflation, 38% year over year, oil prices. But Goldman said energy prices are not even close to being high enough to curb demand. Even with the U.S. average price of gasoline on the verge of $5 a gallon and diesel at $5.75. So they're saying that it's going to go a lot higher. This is Goldman Sachs saying that, okay?
Yeah. And today you've got, you know, classic example, you've got, you know, Devon Energy down, you know, almost 8%. Well, you know, a lot of that, in my opinion, has a fact to do with, you know, those are, you know, that's kind of a baby getting thrown out with the bathwater or, you know, people needing to sell, you know, some of their winners to cover some margin on some other names that are falling. You know, certainly in the energy patch, it seems it's a little bit, certainly the selling's a little bit overdone in that.
We've gotten into the panic phase where mm-hmm. it's just like call up and sell everything.
And they're going to cash. They're not going, you know, right now you can tell, I mean, looking at bonds today.
There's no buying anywhere.
Up, they're going to cash because you can look, you know, look at the dollar. The dollar is, you know, I think the dollar against the euro right now, I looked at, is like 104, which is one of the lowest it's been, you know, probably since the early 2000s. I mean, there's, you can tell that, you know, folks are simply going to cash and kind of, seeing where things are going to go at this point today.
And I am seeing, you know, some smart people out there are moving into the inverse funds. I see Dog has already traded twice its normal volume. That's one time inverse the Dow. PSQ, 25% more than its normal volume. It's traded 9 million shares already today. And SH, which is inverse the S&P 500, has traded 1.7 times normal volume, 24 million shares trading hand already on SH. And then you get into the three times. Okay, the three times NASDAQ is SQQQ. It's traded 57 million shares today.
that's wild.
Twice normal volume, okay, and S Dow, I believe, is three times inverse the Dow. It's traded, not so much as S&P. They're picking on the S&P 500 big time, which is now down 20% year to date, maybe 21% by now.
They should call that Three Dog Night.
Yes, a Three Dog.
One, right? You know?
That's right. I mean, Toyota getting harsh criticism from the European pension funds because they don't have an aggressive enough electric vehicle program. Okay, and we read last week that electric vehicles are way behind schedule. The parts, the supplies, great shortage there. Inflation hitting all of the areas of electric vehicles, and they're just not rolling off the assembly line. Tesla files for a 3-to-1 stock split. You know, that might help a little bit. Airline tickets are soaring, but bookings are back to where they were in 2019. And on the inverse fund side of things, I have a group in my charts here that are all the inverse funds. Fanged, last time I looked, it was Fanged. That was the biggest one. Anything short the S&P 500 three times. And then the biotech sector. And the small caps are getting slayed today. Panic selling on Wall Street today. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. Get the newsletter. Read it. All about it. At GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. Get your garden cleaned, weeded, etc. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.